Islam and Muslims continue to be plagued by questions in the wake of the impact of religious extremism in the Muslim world and the West. Among them are, is Islam a particularly violent, prone religion? One that educates and motivates terrorists who attack the West? Religion has been used by diverse governments and groups, secular and religious, mainstream and extremist, to legitimate their policies and or anti-Westernism. For example, more secular Arab socialist regimes in Egypt, Libya, Syria, and Iraq in the 1960s and early 1970s, and Pakistan's Zulfikar Ali Bhutto, the father of Benazir Bhutto, used Islam to legitimate their socialisms and to criticize Western capitalism, as well as often to criticize the conservative monarchies of the Gulf. In the 1980s, self-styled Islamic governments in Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Sudan also appealed to Islam. Now, while many Islamic political and social organizations have worked, as we've seen, within the system, within the political and social system, extremists have also appealed to religion to legitimate their acts of violence and terror, to hijack their religion. For surely, whether they be Jews, Christians, or Muslims, when they use their faith to engage in clear acts of terrorism, they are hijacking the heartland of their religious tradition. The extent to which extremists have hijacked Islam was signaled tragically by September 11, 2001, by the attacks masterminded by Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. The hijacking of religion by extremists is not limited to Islam, but as we've seen earlier in this course, found in the history of most religious traditions. Extremists have used Christianity to justify slavery, the Ku Klux Klan, decades-long war between Catholics and Protestants in Northern Ireland, Serbian genocide in Bosnia, the blowing up of abortion clinics. Jewish extremists have claimed religious legitimacy in the assassination of Israel's Prime Minister Rabin, or the slaughtering of Muslims at Friday prayer in the Hebron Mosque in the 1990s, a mosque built on a site sacred to Muslims and Jews. Terrorists like bin Laden and others go beyond classical Islam's criteria for a just jihad and recognize no limits but their own, employing any weapons or means. They reject Islamic law's regulations regarding the goals and means of a valid jihad. For example, that violence must be proportional, that only the necessary amount of force should be used to repel the enemy, that innocent civilians, non-combatants, should not be targeted, and that jihad must be declared by the ruler or head of state by a legitimate authority. Instead, someone like Osama bin Laden gives his own fatwa, even though formally he is not a mufti, with his own interpretation. Today, individuals and groups, religious and lay, seize the right to declare and legitimate unholy wars in the name of Islam. On the other hand, many Islamic scholars and religious leaders across the Muslim world, such as the Islamic Research Council at Al-Azhar University in Cairo, regarded by many as the highest moral authority in Islam, have made strong, authoritative declarations against bin Laden's initiatives, such as the following. Islam provides clear rules and ethical norms that forbid the killing of non-combatants, as well as women, children, and the elderly, and also forbids the pursuit of the enemy in defeat, the execution of those who surrender, the infliction of harm on prisoners of war, and the destruction of property that is not being used in the hostilities. What does Islam have to do with the fact that many Muslim countries are authoritarian, limit free speech, and have weak civil societies? The sources of authoritarianism have less to do with religion and more to do with the legacy of European colonialism and the nature of most modern Muslim states. Parenthetically, let's recall that while we think of Judaism and Christianity as accepting modern democracy and representing or reinforcing modern democracies today, in pre-modern times, they reinforced and supported divine right kingdoms and feudal systems